The intelligence community isn't thrilled when the New York Times published the names of three senior undercover CIA officers in an article back in April. The Times says it made the decision because the CIA officers hold leadership roles in what it calls a significant paramilitary program. Aki Peretz is vice president of the Center for Intelligence Policy and a former counterterrorism analyst for the CIA. He and his colleague Kevin Strauss writing that the media and the IC need to communicate and sometimes compromise with each other. Aki, thanks for coming on the program. It is terrific to talk to you again. Beyond the issue with the New York Times, what's the deeper conversation that you wanted to start with this piece? Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me on the show. I mean, one of the big issues is that we live in a world right now, especially now that 9/11 is becoming very, very, it's faded now almost into the history books. Where we have to have a relationship between our intelligence communities and the press. And that's always been a difficult balancing act because, on one hand, the intelligence community really wants to protect secrets, protect classified information, because it's critical for our national security. On the other hand, we live in a country, where we pride ourselves on our ability to know these things, the public's right to know about what the government is doing. And so that's really the inherent tension between what the intelligence community is trying to do and what the press is trying to do. Because it's for the press, they really want to get these interesting stories. And for the intelligence community, they want to actually protect themselves from prying eyes. And so that's a difficult road to walk down.
You and your colleague, Kevin Strauss, write in Defense One that Dean Baquette, the executive editor of the New York Times, says he tells the intelligence community when its leaders or media affairs personnel ask him to refrain from printing a national security story, give me a compelling reason. Is that a reasonable response from somebody in the media to say to somebody in the intelligence community? And is there maybe a lack of communication, misunderstanding going both directions in this conversation?
Well, I mean, you've got to remember that people who are in the media business have sort of grown up thinking in one sort of mindset. People in the intelligence community who, the vast majority of them, never talk to the press and find it the most interaction they get from the press is actually reading the newspaper and listening to your show, of course. Never, ever actually interact with the media because there are harsh, harsh penalties for those who actually do that. Yet, as we all know, over the last several years, there have been some pretty high-profile leaks by the intelligence community. So one of the problems actually here that we try to touch upon is that you suddenly had, in the New York Times, three senior CIA undercover officials having their names published in a major newspaper. And that's something that really irks a lot of people in the intelligence community because it shows, and the way that the New York Times really justified it, in Kevin and my opinion, really didn't sort of do it justice. However, this is the way the press is actually going to react because a lot of reporters take their cues from what the New York Times does. We're trying to sort of come up with some sort of compromise here.
And a compromise implies that both sides need to give a little. What's a reasonable middle ground, do you think, Aki?
Well, one of the things is that you have to have all these public affairs offices really work with the press. Now, in the distant past, they could actually say, especially after 9/11, we can't talk about this because if somebody talks about this, people will die and terrible things will happen. But we've seen leak after leak after leak in the press over the last 10, 15 years, where something terrible has sort of come out into the open, and then nothing happens. And so what the idea that you can talk about these issues in sort of a secret manner, you have to come up with a better narrative. I mean, why is this important? And can you justify to these people who are increasingly skeptical in the press about secrecy, especially in this post-Snowden era? You have to sort of come up with a better narrative to say why the intelligence community does its job and how it does it competently. And I believe it's an education issue. You have to sort of push back on reporters who are just looking for a story and they don't care about the national security issue. So I believe that sort of members of the press really need to have an education as well on this issue.
Aki Peretz, vice president of the Center for Intelligence Policy, a former counterterrorism analyst for the Central Intelligence Agency, and writing along with his colleague in Defense One. The title is The Intel Community Needs a Better Media Strategy. You write in this piece that absent specific information, the formerly undercover officers, those that we've referred to in our conversation already, are in no greater danger than, say, General Stanley McChrystal, John Brennan, or Dean Baquet, for that matter. He's the executive editor of the New York Times. And it strikes me that this is an argument issue, and you make that point several times throughout this, that there may be reasons for names to stay undercover or information to stay undercover, but it's incumbent on the intel community to better define what those are. Am I reading the point that you're trying to make right?
Yes, and also it means that it's an issue of education for the press itself. I mean, there's a reason why there are senior CIA officers who have cover, as we sort of try to lay out why it is incredibly important to both the United States, our national security, and to that individual person to maintain that cover. Now, when their cover is blown, so to speak, in the press, especially in a high-profile news article, that does something. Not only it harms our national security, but it also harms these people's careers, maybe. It also means that they could be potentially targeted for attack, or people might show up at their house. In this era where a lot of information gets dumped onto the internet, you have a lot of crazies out there who might do damage or do something terrible. That said, the IC has to reiterate why it's important to cover and how to protect these individuals from harm. And the press has to be a lot more understanding of why cover is extremely important. And as we try to lay out what the New York Times actually says, we believe is not really a good justification, but it's an issue in education. It's an issue of talking about why these things are important to both national security and to these individuals themselves, and for the press to actually understand that and respect that.
I'm aware of the nuances of some of the relationships between people in my business and people in the intelligence business. And so these conversations happen on, it seems to me, a lower level, on a on a reporter to official level, but I'm not sure from what I take away from this conversation about the executive editor of the New York Times that those same relationships or conversations are happening at the very highest levels. And it seems to me that's where they would most likely be the most useful. You know, maybe the executive editor of the Times or people in leadership positions at other media outlets should be having these conversations with pretty high ups in the various agencies of the intel community or at ODNI, rather than them happening kind of on a more ad hoc basis when a reporter happens to meet someone who's an analyst and they develop a professional acquaintance.
Well, I would actually probably argue that, and I don't know off the top of my head, but I would argue that probably the heads of the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal all have relatively good working relationships with the head of intelligence community officials and people at the NSC and at the White House. But one has to remember that folks in the press are being pushed, especially when in the era of Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald and folks like that, who are actually willingly pushing a lot of classified information with a specific bent out before the major mainstream media outlets. And so I believe there's an inherent tension for the New York Times and the Post and so forth to be on that bleeding edge and to sell papers and to generate clicks. And so it's very difficult, I would imagine, for the press, especially the New York Times, to determine what is appropriate and what is not. I personally would err on keeping secrets secret, but that's something that the press really has to make sure that they understand and they come to an understanding. And that's why we sort of wrote about this issue, because now the executive editor of the New York Times is saying, give me a compelling reason, which means that they already have information that they'd love to put on page A1. And the IC now has to come up with a better narrative to keep it off the press, keep it off the internet, basically.